Hi, everyone. My name is Brielle Jekyll. I am the editorial lead of FreightWaves here, and I am here today with Adam Wingfield, who is our founder of Innovator Logistics Group. Hi, Adam. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thanks for having me today, Brielle.
Yeah, and I'm excited. Today, we're going to talk about how owner-operators can position themselves for success. And I know you have a lot of expertise in this area, so I'm excited to get into it.
Likewise.
Well, so first I'll just start off with, we'll just jump right into it. In your experience, what are some important considerations for owner-operators when it comes to selecting the right routes and clients to maximize profitability?
Well, you hit the nail on the head at the end of it, maximizing profitability. And in order to maximize profitability, you have to know what profitability looks like to your independent business. Every business in the trucking industry is different, meaning that every truck that hits the highway has a different business dynamic of it. So the most important thing is to get your baseline first. We call that baseline your break-even point. Your break-even point is the point at which you can start making money. And there is no baseline. There's been research that's been done. That's kind of a blanket research that we've seen from folks such as the ATRI who say, hey, this is the cost of operation of a truck. Well, you have to consider that just as an average, and you have to consider that as an anomaly. You need to get into your business and understand what your break-even points, because we've seen break-even points from $1.60 all the way up to $2.70. So you really have to understand what that looks like. And once you understand what your break-even point is, then you want to start layering on what we call an operational run rate. That is the, hey, Brielle, how much profit do you want to make? You know, do you want to make 10%? Do you want to make 20%? Do you want to make 30%? What does that look like? And if you establish yourself a baseline, like saying, hey, you know what, from a profitability standpoint, I want to have this as my profit number, then you layer that on top of your break-even point. So, for example, if your break-even point is $2 a mile and you say, hey, you know what, this year in 2024, I know it's a tough year, but I've got to do 20% profit. Well, you take that $2 and then you take your 20% on that $2, which would make you at $2.40. So now you would have to look at the lanes that run that would keep you within somewhat around that area there of $2.40 on average. Because listen, you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. You're not going to win every lane, but you want to say, hey, at the end of the month, at the end of a period or at the end of a quarter, I want to be at $2.40. And again, that's just an average number. So everybody's going to have to do their own math. But in order to understand exactly how to become profitable and what lanes to choose for a profitability standpoint, you've got to establish what profitability looks like for you. And then now you got to be flexible to position yourself in lanes that's going to position you for that. Because there may be lanes that you may have the desire to do 240 a mile, but the lanes that you like to run in is not going to do that. You're going to have to come outside that comfort zone in order to do that. So I got to have some flexibility there too.
Okay. Well, what would you think about, in your experience, what do you think some of the, how important do you think it is to stay updated with like industry trends and changes and things like that in the market, like the constant new things that are happening? Or is it okay to just stick with what you know?
I mean, it's okay to do whatever you want to do. It's a country, right? But if you want to be successful, you want to stay on top of things. When I started as an owner operator, I mean, there was barely no internet. We had no social media. We had none of this stuff. So we had no access to industry changes. The only access that we had is that when you go into a truck stop, you might pick up a magazine that's a week old from a publication standpoint, and the data that's in that magazine is probably a month old from the point that they actually got it to the actual truck stop. Now you have instantaneous, tangible tools to be successful. You've got the cheat code. So it's important for you to stay ahead of those things, because those headwinds can help you make those decisions, those profitability decisions that you just talked about. We may be looking at a situation where overall volumes in a particular lane may start to thin up. Well, just like in our first question, that was our lane. That was our go-to lane. Well, now that I've got the information ahead of me that, hey, you know what? Something's going to change in that particular lane. I might need to make a different strategy. We got a cheat code. We got weather forecasts. We got Doppler radars that we never had before in the industry. And we got to take advantage of those things.
I like the idea that you would say that like the data is kind of our cheat code nowadays, right? The fact that we have real-time data. I like that concept because it's totally true. I mean, you have a look into everything nowadays. The problem is ciphering through all that data and figuring out what you need to know. I definitely understand that part of it. What do you feel like there are some like misconceptions or any kind of myths in the industry?
They're all over the place. I think that there's always been a cat and mouse game. And I think that maybe not necessarily a misconception. I think that there's a lack of understanding between brokers and carriers and carriers and brokers. You know, I think that's one of the biggest myths. I think that brokers have a perception from a generalization of carriers. And some of that has been pushed with some of the fraud that's happened. And I can't even say some of the fraud, the massive amount of fraud has caused a lot of BPLs to kind of look at carriers that have done good business and great business differently. And then we got carriers that really don't know what a day in the life of a broker looks like, right? Like they don't know what goes on in the back end. And they just feel like as an intermediary that there's no work done. So I think that that's one of the biggest misconceptions is that the two most important parts of third-party logistics really don't understand which each other does. And some of those assumptions are driven just by overall passion and just quite frankly, that discontent between the two parties for them to want to desire to do differently. But I think that that's one of the biggest misconceptions is, hey, what are each set component of the supply chain on the carrier side and also on this 3PL broker side? What does that look like? And I think that that spurs some lack of understanding. And I also think it spurs some just it's just a line drawn in the sand where you either you're on this side or you're on that side, and that's unfortunate.
So what do you think that individuals in the industry, what do you think they should do to overcome these kind of challenges and these misconceptions to, you know, better themselves?
Well, I think that there's, you know, one of the things that you've seen over the last 5 years and last 10 years is you've seen a lot more conferences, transportation conferences that encapsulates both sides, that has an open invitation for both sides to get into a room, be able to see, be able to conversate, be able to network and build those relationships. I think that that's one of the most important things is to do is really just stick to your own race and run your own race and formulate your own opinion based on your own interactions. Because it's really, really easy to open up social media and see somebody say, oh yeah, Brielle's brokerage sucked. They do this, that, and the third. But you know, I've never had an interaction with you. I've never had the opportunity to connect with you or determine exactly what that looks like. But it's a mindset thing. And I think that it goes globally right now. I think that there's a lot of tension, you know, when it comes down to the industry. When rates are low, you feel tension is always high. And I think that because of that, there's going to be that feeling that neither side wants anything to do with each other because we're pointing fingers at this is the reason why that this is happening right now. And the biggest, you know, kind of going back to your myths, one of the biggest myths is people really don't understand that freight cycles just do like this. And they think that it's always going to be a constant gradual uphill cooling. It's just not like that.
Yeah, actually, the back and forth made me laugh because I'm actually I moderate and I handle our comment sections on the website. And boy, do you.
Bless your heart.
It gets rough out there. And I'm just like, oh, there's nothing technically wrong with this comment, but I don't love how the vitriol against each other is kind of crazy sometimes.
It is. And it's unfortunate. You know, free speech, you know, freedom of speech is important, having the freedom to do so, but you can feel the tension with a knife down to the industry.
Yeah. And it seems as though everything is polarizing. You know, nobody can come to an agreement on anything.
No.
Nowadays.
Not even on the most basic component, not the most basic. I mean, the thing is that this has been stewing for a long time and it's always been like that. The things that I see that are happening in the comments that you're moderating were the comments that were being made in truck stop lounges back in the 90s, you know, so the things that are frustrating, you know, carriers and the things that are frustrating people are the same things that are frustrating right now. There's no progress. This industry is such a slow pace, slow growth and laggard industry.
I've actually seen proof of that for sure, because we do a little flashback segment where we look back at old magazines from American Shipper, which is not exactly trucking, but it's still, you know, in the, you know, shipping area. And it's the same fights. It's the same arguments, you know, from the 80s, the 90s to today. It's absolutely the same. And I just think it's so interesting how history just repeats itself, but also kind of shows that we do need to get out of this like constant circle.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, and the crazy thing is that not only does history repeat itself, you know, with the cycles that we're going through, but I think that even in our industry, history hasn't become history yet. It's still the present. You know, when you think about, you know, deregulation, post-deregulation, like those things are still the present. Like those issues are still present. So it's never become a situation where we've gotten over that myth. We got over that hurdle. We've got over those issues to where we can look back and say, if you remember back then, Brielle, we were fighting and bickering over that. Well, it's come about again. Well, it's never went away. So that's why it's one of those things that it's been a struggle.
Yeah. So just for my last question, we touched on this, you know, about the misconceptions and whatnot, but what other challenges are there out there that people really need to keep their eye on and ways that they can circumvent that?
I think part of it really is there a lot of especially in situations like now when the freight goes to the bottom cycles, a lot of people get to situations where their back's against the wall. And in some cases, they make decisions that are in haste. So there are programs out there like lease operators and lease programs that might not be in the best interest of you. Make sure that you read those clauses. When you get into a financial agreement, such as a factoring agreement, make sure that you read the fine print on those factoring agreements, because I've seen factoring agreements where they're tying that owner operator and that carrier to a 2-year, 3-year deal. I've seen it where their buyouts are $5,000, $10,000 in a buyout in order to get outside of a factoring agreement. I've seen where factoring rates were way too high. So just be careful. Just be very, very diligent in what you're doing. Reviewing your factoring agreement. Review all of the legal documentations that included yourself. You know, you don't want to sign anything that you haven't read thoroughly through. The crazy part about it is I understand it, that they may send you a 30-page document for something. Well, if you don't have a legal person that's in your corner, you can use UpCounsel. You can even use OpenAI to actually just skim over it for you if you really don't want to get down into the weeds and read it. But make sure that you understand it, because I've seen a lot of owner operators and fleet owners get burnt from lease agreements all the way to factoring agreements and everything in between.
Yeah, we've covered a little bit of that recently, and that's something that really sent off the comments for sure.
It's
all that the little nuances and things like that in the industry are definitely something to keep an eye on. But I thought that was interesting, your idea to use OpenAI.
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of cool to see how many ways that people are using like AI and technology. It's even so different than 3 years ago.
It's a tool, and you know, we've used it to, you know, OpenAI can go back and look at your IFTA filings to ensure that your IFTA filings are, you know, compliant. You can use OpenAI to read documents. Now, of course, you don't want to use that as your primary legal backstone, but if you're looking for something at least to highlight key points within that legal agreement, and you want to use that OpenAI tool, so that way when you go into that OpenAI tool, it'll actually pull those things out for you and say, hey, check this. So it's all about prompting. But, you know, using AI is just, honestly, if you're not using artificial intelligence, it's a tool to help you get better.
Yeah, I mean, in every ways, I really don't see it completely replacing people. I mean, let's be honest, we're not going to see driverless trucks, you know, even in that type of AI, completely without a driver, you know. So I think it's cool to find the different ways that you can use AI to help you. Can really make a huge difference in efficiency and accuracy.
I agree. And if you're not, you know, again, the industry itself is an antiquated industry. Adaptation of technology and trucking has always not been the thing that we've been known for. But as an owner operator, you got to use every tool that you have in your tool chest in order to stay on top of the game. Use the analytics that you have. Use the news and resources that you have in front of you. Take the tips that you see on these types of events that you're looking at right now. And most importantly, embrace the technology that's put in place to help you guide you to going forward.
Especially because the technology we have nowadays, it's not too difficult to where it's going to disrupt your entire, you know, you can use open AI just on your computer and be like, let me check this out. You don't have to change your entire way of doing things.
That's right. I mean, you can just use it as a, hey, let me check for accuracy, right? It's, you have something, just double check your work. But I always recommend using it as a tool. And even when it comes down to this, you get upset, you get ready to fire off that email, have OpenAI do the email for you, at least so that way it comes off from a professional perspective, because you don't want to burn a bridge that you got to potentially cross later.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. But thank you so much for coming on and you know, giving us all that insight. I think it was really great. And you know, as an owner operator, I feel like we have a lot of tips to share from this episode.
Oh, thanks for having.
Awesome. Thank you so much.